So you guys, we have been walking together through a passage. We're going to pick back up in this story that we've been looking at in Acts. And we're going to see what's going on tonight with Peter and John after they've just healed this lame man who's been outside the temple begging. And remember that they were walking to the temple to pray, and there's this guy who hasn't been able to walk since birth. And he's already like past 40 years old. So his entire life has just been that. He's just been there begging, trusting other people, hoping that other people will help him and give him money. And at this point, he's probably just accepted his lot in life. Like, I'll never be more than this. I'm just always going to be a beggar. I'm always going to be broken. I'm always going to be sitting here just hoping somebody will have pity on me so I can eat tonight. And he might have just accepted that. And here come Peter and John. And as they're coming in, and he's like, hey, you know, can you guys give me some spare change or something? He does it, remember, and he's looking down because they didn't look in you in the eyes. It's a sign of like humility, like, I don't deserve to. And so Peter looks back, he's like, look at us. Like, look me in the face. Man to man, human to human, you're not inferior because you're broken. We've got a gift for you, but it's not silver or gold or anything else. What we have for you is so much better. It's hope that Jesus can transform your life and make you brand new, completely new. He can forgive your sin. He can take you out of your brokenness. He can give you hope when you're sitting there feeling like everything's broken and you're totally hopeless. Jesus can take all of that and transform it and make it brand new and fill you with hope. Give you a future. Forgive your sin. Give you eternal life. And so they do this thing and they reach down and he stands up. And on those broken, wobbly legs that couldn't even work before, all of a sudden, his legs are strong, and so he starts to walk, and then he starts to leap and jump around and praise God, and he goes in the temple leaping and jumping, and he's just shouting out how good God is. And so Peter and John are just there, just enjoying this miracle that God did through them right there before their own eyes. And they're like, our God can transform people. This is unbelievable. But then the crowd's like, what just happened? Like, how did that just go down? And then all of a sudden, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these like high priests hear about what happened and they come over and they're not happy. They're like, wait, this Jesus that we put on a cross and killed because he's a heretic? You're saying he did this? You're walking around still talking about the name Jesus? Are you kidding me? And so they pull them into this like court case, this tribunal. And that's what we're picking up tonight, Acts chapter 4. Look there with me or follow on the screens. It starts in verse 13 is where we pick back up tonight, okay? So as you're turning there, let me just take a quick survey. How many of you guys love being in the spotlight? Like, you enjoy having attention and being the life of the party? Maybe you're the class clown. Anybody just like, you like it? It's not like a shameful thing. Just, yeah, you're owning it. Like, some people just enjoy that. You're extroverts. You just have fun kind of making people laugh. Like, that's your thing. Cool. How many of you guys are like, now that freaks me out. I'm totally scared to do that. Like, I'm shy. I don't like being in a spotlight. Anybody like that? How many of you guys have no idea that I'm even speaking right now? Like, there's kind of one or the other option. Are you in the middle somewhere, anybody? Oh, that's where we landed. Okay. So, well, tonight, this passage puts Peter and John in the spotlight. So a lot of us might not be comfortable where they end up tonight. As they get pulled into this tribunal, as everybody's around them, like tons of people are there watching. And this is a big moment. This is a moment where they have to respond. They have to say something back. They can't just sit there quiet and go off to a corner like a lot of times I like to do. I like to go just kind of be alone. And even though I stand on a stage on Wednesday nights in my life, I'm kind of a shy person. I'm that kind of wallflower that I don't like to be in the spotlight. And Peter and John are there. Like, they don't have a choice. And a lot of times you're going to find yourself where they are. And if you're shy like me, you're going to be like, man, that's going to make me uncomfortable. And I'm here to tell you, yeah, it probably will. And God's going to do something awesome, though, if you trust him. I mean, he just took a lame guy and made him walk. Don't you think he can take a shy person and help you speak his words? A dude who couldn't walk for 40 years since he was born stood up and started leaping and jumping. Don't you think he can use you and take your shyness and help you do something with it? He did it for Moses. He can do it for you. You're preaching tonight. Amen, girl. All right. So let's read it. Hopefully you're there by now. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, You hear that? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them. It's evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to listen to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had heard, they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So this passage starts off right away by calling these guys bold. John and Peter, stuck in the middle of this huge crowd. Wasn't something they pursued. They weren't like going on like a preaching thing where they had been called to go preach and they knew what they signed up for. They just show up there. God does this unbelievable miracle and they're like, "Whoop, here we are. What am I going to do now? People are asking me the question, how this happened. Do I have a response?" You know, more often than not, that's what's going to happen to you. That's what happens to me. It's not necessarily something we planned. Like, you might not be going to speak in this, like, set up appointment date that you're like, "I'm coming on this time, be ready for me." It's one of those things where you just find yourself in the middle of something with an opportunity. God's like, "Hey, child, you ready? It's here. It's time. Your friends are asking. People are looking at you. They're wondering what you're going to do and what you're going to say. How you're going to respond." Have you ever been caught in a moment like that? Where you weren't expecting it, but there you were. It just came upon you, and now you had to make a choice. Will I show them Jesus? Or will I close my mouth and not say a word? That was their choice. And so here's Peter and John, and they're standing there, right? And it says that they saw the boldness of these men. I want to encourage you tonight to be bold. Even if you're one of the ones out there that raise your hand with me and you're like, "Man, I'm shy. I can't stand like being in front of people and like those type of situations and high pressure and all that deal. I don't do that well." I want to encourage you to be bold. Boldness doesn't mean that you're outgoing and an extrovert and you're the funniest person around. Boldness means that you can trust God to get you through wherever he puts you. Whether you're shy or outgoing, whether you're funny or quiet and you don't crack jokes, you know, like whatever you are made to be by the Lord, he's got you there for a reason. And you trust it. And you say, "God, here we go." Boldness can just be obeying the Lord. And so they were there and people saw that boldness in them. How they were able to just walk up to this guy and be like, you're healed. And he stood up and was healed. And look, it says, and they perceived that they were uneducated common men. Like these, they saw these guys weren't really that big of a deal. Peter and John were fishermen. They didn't go to the best schools and they weren't the most educated and they weren't really wealthy and from the right families and popular and drove the right camel or whatever. You know, like these guys were just common. And so when these very educated men walked up and saw them, they were like, "Really? You guys were able to do that?" And as a matter of fact, when everyone saw that happen, it says this, they were astonished. Because how could some dudes who didn't seem to be able to really accomplish a whole lot, they didn't seem like that big of a deal, how were they able to do what they did? And it astonished the crowd. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I do a lot. I'm like, "God, what do I have to offer?" You know, like, you get other youth pastors out there, they're like jamming with their guitar and they're rocking it out on the stage and they're awesome at sports and they're so funny and tell the best jokes and they, and the list goes on, right? And I'm like, God, what do I have? And he's like, you know the word? Just preach my word. And I'm like, but God, is that enough? Like, is that really enough? And he's like, I put you there. Just preach the word. And you might find yourself in spots where you're like, do I have a lot to offer here? I'm not like the best looking person in my friend group. I'm not the funniest one. I don't have all this like really like a lot of intelligence and smarts. I'm not the quick person with a fast, funny answer. You just have to be bold. You just have to be willing to trust me. I put you there. You're in the situation because of me. Will you be bold and just trust me? Just obey. I'll take care of it. Trust me to show up and actually heal the dude. It wasn't Peter and John who healed him. They were just bold. They just obeyed the Lord and showed up and said, this is what God said he's going to do. And God was like, here I am. Boom. And the dude's walking. That's all he's calling you to do. He's made you exactly how he wants you to be. Trust that. Be bold with that. Be loud with that. Stand out, not to draw attention to yourself. Stand out to draw attention to Jesus. And say, he's the real deal in my life. And I'm proud of Allie to stand up here tonight and to speak those words. To tell you that she believes in Christ. To tell you about what God's doing in her life and she's not ashamed of it. That's boldness, Allie. I'm proud of you for that. God's looking at that and he's honored by that. And I want to encourage all of us. There have been people getting baptized and they're doing the same thing, being bold, saying, listen, I believe in Christ and I want you to know and I don't care what people say. I'm proud of that fact because Jesus has transformed me. These guys are bold. God's called us to be bold. When you walk into school tomorrow, will you be bold in your classes? Will you stand out, not to draw attention to you, but to say Jesus is awesome and he's worth it? That's where they're at. That's where they're standing right here in this story. And the people are absolutely astonished that they can have that boldness. And I'll tell you what, your friends will be too. They'll look at you and be like, what's the change in your heart? Where does this boldness that you have come from? How are you so loud about Jesus in such a loving way? Like, how is that happening? And you know your answer? Just like Peter and John said last week, the name of Jesus, baby. That's what it is. It ain't me. It's Christ. There is no other name by which a man can be saved than by Jesus. And you get to point them there. That's awesome. So here they are again, right? It says, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they want to come up and be like, hey, bro, you need to stop talking about Jesus. We just crucified him. He's a heretic. And they're like, no, he's not. As a matter of fact, he saved our lives and he just made that dude walk. What have you done? You hung a guy on a cross. That's all you've done. He just gave a guy his legs back. Who's more powerful? And so as they come up and they're wanting to shut him up, they can't say anything because there's the dude walking right next to him. They're like, here's the living proof. He's walking right here. You know what? You're living proof. When someone says, I don't know about this God thing, you can say, I'm living proof right here. I'm brand new. I'm changed. I've met Jesus. He's changed my life. He's transformed me. He put hope in my heart. I'm living proof. You get to be that. You're evidence of God's handiwork. And so when people come up to put down Jesus, you can stand there and go, you have nothing left to say because I'm proof that Jesus brought me from death to life and I'm alive, baby. I got eternal life. That's where these guys are at. They had nothing to say because the guy was standing right there walking, leaping, dancing, praising the Lord. There was no doubt who had done it. It says they recognized that they had been with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, he rubs off on you. When you spend time with Jesus, you start to look like Jesus and people are like, whoa, something's different. And you're like, yeah, that difference? It's Jesus Christ. I've been in the Word. I've been digging in the Word. I've been studying, learning about Him. He's been talking to me through His Holy Spirit and through the Bible. I've been listening, and I'm just obeying when I hear Him talk. That's it. It's that simple. He says something to me, and I say yes, and it's baby steps, and it's every day I open that Word, and He says, hey, Rob, I want you to do this, and I say, okay, God, trusting You, here I go. And every day I look a little more like Jesus because I'm opening His Bible and I'm reading it and He's talking to me and His Holy Spirit's saying, come on, let's go. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, here we go. And every day He takes me a little closer to His throne. That's how He changes you. That's how His Holy Spirit transforms you and makes you look more like Him. People can tell when you've spent time with Jesus. It's obvious. Are you spending time with Him? Are you digging into His Word? Are you letting Him talk to you? And you're like, here, I'm listening. I'm really listening. I'm not distracted with my phone or all these other things. I'm just me and You. I'm just listening, God. Got Your Word open? Talk. Spend some time with Christ. People will see that you have done that. It says, but when they had commanded them to leave the council, right? They got together. They conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? Like, what are we going to do, y'all? This guy, what can we possibly say with this other dude standing here? This lame guy is walking. It says, this notable sign, they say, has been performed, so we can't deny it. We can't go up and be like, no, that didn't really happen. He's standing right there. When you stand before your friend and you're trying to tell them that they can have hope in Jesus, you're able to go, I can't deny this. I'm the evidence. I'm before you breathing. I'm before you able to tell you about hope. I'm living proof. I'm brand new. And it will leave them in a spot where they can't deny it. So here's my question for you. Are you looking for where His hand is moving in your life? Are you looking? Are you saying, God, where are You pushing me? Where are You telling me to go? Where are You asking me to obey? God, are You waking up in the morning, opening the Word and doing that? Asking the question, getting before God, saying, what do You have for me today, Lord? How can I obey? How can I say yes? How can I take that step of faith today? Give me active faith, Lord, to say yes to You. And as you do, you're taking those steps towards being just like Jesus. And then they say this, all right, let's come together and get this like solution. Here's what we're going to do. They say, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let's warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them, charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Their solution was get them together and tell them, if you speak about Jesus, you're done. We don't want you using His name anymore. We don't want to hear Jesus coming out of your lips. That's it. You're done talking about Jesus. And you're like, that's crazy. We live in this awesome country. We have all these freedoms and rights. We don't know what that's like. You talk about Jesus. Be grateful for that. Because some of us, even in this room, have been or lived in countries where this was occurring today. I say, you cannot go around telling people about Jesus. That's a reality for many places in our world. And here they are in one of those situations. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't say His name. And they're thinking this is going to work, right? If we charge them and we're really serious and make this really mean face, they're going to stop, right? But listen what they say back. But Peter and John answered them. Here's the boldness, guys. Here it is. They're living out loud. Are you ready? Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you get to judge that. I can't tell you what you think is right or wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And here's what they say. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. We can only tell the truth. We saw it. We heard it. We have to just speak about it. We can't talk about anything else because we're not going to lie. We were there. We saw Jesus. We knew Him. We walked with Him. He healed people. He did miracles. He walked on water. We saw, John got to watch me fall in the water as I was walking out of the boat and I sunk and Jesus pulled me up, Peter says, right? We lived this crazy time with Jesus and we watched it with our own eyes. And here it is. We're outside the temple and He heals this guy and now he's leaping around. What do you want us to say? It's real. We've seen it. We've watched Jesus do it. We're going to talk about it. Because there's no other option. It happened. It's true. And he's changing our lives today. And the other dudes were just like, speechless. How are these fishermen talking like this? How are these good-for-nothings, commoners, talking like this? We're the priests. We know this stuff, not them. That was their attitude. But they're speechless. Because John and Peter had a boldness to stand on what they knew was true. And y'all, if you've believed in Jesus, and you're saying tonight, if I were to come up to each one of you and just ask you, do you believe on the name of Jesus? Are you trusting only in Jesus to forgive your sin? What would your answer be? What would your answer be? And if your answer is yes, be bold. You've seen him. You've heard him. He's transformed your heart. What else is there to say but the truth? Will you walk into your schools and your families and your friends and start saying, I can only say what I know is true, and that's Jesus is alive and he's transformed my life. It's true. And I stand up for it. And I'll be loud and bold about it, like John and Peter were. So these guys aren't happy. They didn't want to hear that. It says when they heard further, when they had further threatened them, right? So they're like, no, that's not acceptable. And then they made it even worse, these threats. They let them go. They had no way to punish them because of the people. You know why? It says because all were praising God for what had happened. They couldn't even do anything. They had to let these guys go. All these threats were empty threats in the end because God had showed up in such a powerful way. If they had done anything, the people would have revolted. Everybody saw the truth. And when you see the truth, the lies have no chance. The lies the world's telling you, the darkness the world surrounds you with, your own mind sometimes and your flesh telling you things that just aren't true. When the truth is there, the lies can't keep going. And that's what's happening. We will speak the truth and we will be bold about it. And these guys were totally helpless in light of that. I love that people got baptized again tonight, y'all. And it's not just so that we have to keep filling this thing up and dumping it out and getting all wet. It's because God's on the move. God's doing something. He's making y'all bold. He's causing you to step up and just stand out in a good way for him, not for you. I just want to fan that flame in you. I want to keep encouraging you to do that. Maybe for some of you, it's because you need to follow in baptism. You're like, I've been putting it off. I haven't done it. And I want to be bold and I want to do that. For others, it might be, I've never met this Jesus you're talking about. And tonight, I just need to meet him and give him my life and be forgiven. I just want to know this power. How can he make me brand new? I want that. Maybe for some of you, it's like, man, I've done this. I proclaimed through baptism already that I believe in Jesus. I need to be prayed for tonight, that I'll be bold now, that I'll go out there and stand in my schools, stand among my family, my friends, and I will say, Jesus is the only one who can make me brand new. And I want to do that. I want to pray for you for that tonight. And so as we close, I'm just going to ask you guys, will you just bow your heads and close your eyes right now? And let's take a second just to be with God. Let's ask him to do a work only he could do. Remember, Peter and John didn't do this transformation, this healing. God did it. And so tonight, we need God to show up and to do that in you. Because you might be that broken person tonight who hasn't walked for a long time. Maybe tonight you need to be healed. You need Jesus to step into your heart and to forgive your sin and take all that brokenness and hurt you're feeling. And you need hope. And I'll tell you what, Jesus is offering it to you tonight. But only he can do it. Only in his name can a man be saved. And he deserves all the glory. If that's you tonight, you're like, man, I need to be saved. I need to be made brand new. I want that hope you're talking about only Jesus can give. Can you do me a favor tonight? I really want to pray for you. I just want you to slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. That's it. Just raise your hand up. That's me. I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now listen, I'm not saying that you haven't been walking with him, but you're saved. I'm saying you've never accepted him. You've never been saved, and tonight you want that. You want to be saved by Jesus and to be made brand new. Yeah, I see you guys up here in the front. Anybody else? You just slip your hand up. That's me. Yeah, I see you in the middle, man. Anyone else? Now's your chance. Jesus is offering it. He's saying, I want to forgive you. I want to transform you. Slip your hand up so I can pray for you tonight. Maybe you've done that and you're like, man, now I want to be baptized like these guys have done. I want to be bold. That's my next step, Rob, and I need prayer so I can do that. Can I give you the opportunity right now to slip your hand up, say, that's me, I want to be baptized. I want the boldness. I want to declare that I believe in Jesus. Slip your hand up right now just so I can see that tonight. Maybe you're that last person. And here's where we need a lot of prayer, y'all, because we're all in this walk together. We believe in Jesus. We need to be bold. We need to look like Peter and John, who just stepped out and said, I can't, but Jesus can, and I don't have anything else I can say but that, because it's true. If that's you tonight and you just want prayer just like I do, you just want to be prayed over for that confidence and that boldness you put in your heart, will you just slip your hand up so I know to pray for you and include you as we pray right now? That's me. I just pray that God would make me bold. Help me to stand out for him. Yeah, I see your hands. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you. Anyone else feel that way tonight? You just want some prayer? Yeah, man. Yeah, I see you over there in the side. Let me pray right now. Would you guys pray this with me too in your hearts? Let's lift this up together to God. Father, you hear us. You see the hands. You see the hearts. You know, every decision that's being made right now as people are choosing one way or another as they sit in this room. God, there's nothing I can do up on this stage to change that or to influence that. Only you and your Holy Spirit can do that in them. Lord, we're asking you to do some work. Will you take our hearts and put boldness in it? Maybe some people just need boldness so they can raise their hand and say, give me boldness. And I ask for that. I ask for us to be able to step out of here tonight and just say, I believe in Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to be loud about it. I'm going to be excited about it because it's good news, because it's the truth. Will you do that in us? I pray for those who raise their hand tonight to be saved. God, you saw their hands. Lord, I ask you that tonight before they leave, they would come speak with me up here at the front, that they could hear about what it would do in their life, how their life would change and be transformed if Jesus took it over. God, that tonight they would have the opportunity to talk to you and ask you for that forgiveness. And Lord, help those that still haven't been baptized, they haven't taken that step of obedience yet to say, I'm a believer. And I want everyone to know that God has made me brand new. Give them the courage and the boldness to do that. Father, be glorified. You deserve it, Lord. Thank you for transforming us. Thank you for being the reason why we are here tonight. Because you, God, you're that good. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.